Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man who needs no introduction, Captain Jack Barry. Jack, my friend.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I've been shamed. My Guardians,
oh,
dude.
Tell me why.
Friggin' Yankees, man. We lost, so we're not going to the World Series. And yeah, most likely it's going to be a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, which is the stupidest. It's basically they spent $300 million to get to that point, which is kind of dumb. And I hate the fact that that stuff happens. But
yeah, I think the world was collectively rooting for your team because it's the Yankees. And we're kind of, everyone, I feel like it's kind of like the Yankees, the Patriots, the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, we're kind of sick of seeing them win, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but
yeah,
I'm sorry.
At the time of this recording on later in the Lord's Day, the Dodgers are winning 10-4 and it's the top of the ninth right now. So either this game is done or it's about to be, yeah. I think the Dodgers have to pitch to the Mets and it'll be done. But yeah, it'll be Mets and Yankees for the World Series. So
absolutely,
anything, I want the Dodgers to win because everybody hates the Yankees and I hate the Yankees. So
yeah, 100%, 100%.
That
being, I'm with you,
people.
Well, Jack, we've got some business to attend to before we hop into the cigar review today. We've got a couple things. One, we have a name to hallowed. We have a name to hallowed. There has been one that has decided to join the ranks of the podluck. They have
decided
taken
to bring the
plunge.
Casserole.
They
bring
decided
the
to bring the. They did, man. They brought the casserole, and I. It is my privilege, my duty, but my privilege to hallowed the name Brad Hogensen. Brad Hogensen.
Yes.
Now, Brad has been a listener of the podcast for a while, and great dude, really cool. Always love talking with Brad. I actually get to see Brad. I've actually met Brad a couple times.
Okay.
And it's always I help with a church family camp.
Yeah,
I play drums usually like once a year for church family camp, and he's usually at this camp. So I see him once a year, but it's always a great time when I see Brad. So Brad has joined the ranks of the podluck, and per our commitment, our pledge, our vow, my friend, we thank you, and your name has been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Jack, I have one more announcement. We're getting all the announcements out of the way right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This one's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Just in time for election season. Ladies and gentlemen, yours truly, the Reformatory Podcast, has partnered with the very small mom and pop shop known as Amazon.
And we are selling shirts. We've got shirts. And you can find a link to those shirts in the description of this episode. Or you just head on over to Amazon.com and type in the Reformatory Podcast shirt. And our designs will come up. We currently have, I want to say it's like 4 or 5 designs of just kind of a basic designs that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And then we've got some special shirts that are dropping specifically for the election, time that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Right. Those are, I think we titled those shirts, The Heart of the King. So, they're pretty cool. I'm pretty excited, but this is how it works. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're putting a call out to our people. Okay. We want to be able to put out more merch for you. We want to be able to extend into sweatshirts and more designs and like, you know, hoodies and like a whole bunch of stuff we want to be able to do. But how Amazon works is they give you a very limited at the beginning, because I had to like write a, almost like a like an essay to get accepted into this. It's a very, it's exclusive. They don't just let anybody in. You have to like basically sell yourself and tell them why it's worth it that they choose you to sell on their site. So I did that, and it took a while, but we got accepted. But how it works is this. They start you at a very low tier. You can only upload a certain amount of designs, okay?
Oh, okay.
A certain amount of products, right? And each item of clothing is a product. So a shirt is a product. A sweatshirt would be another product. So we started with shirts. We just started with shirts, okay? And how it works is the more you sell, the more they up your tier and the more product you can send out to your people. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're doing. If we want sweatshirts, if we want more designs, if we want cool stuff, you got to buy some for you. You got to buy some for your hubby or for your wife. You got to buy some for your kids, because we got youth sizes on there as well. Right. I'm talking the holiday season's coming up. Christmas. Right. Some birthdays. Right. The election season.
Wear it to the polling place.
Wear it to the polling place. Dude, I'm telling you, buy this Reformatory shirt.
Interesting.
The heart of the king, man, in the hands of the Lord. Buy our. Yeah, boy.
Hashtag Reformatory at the polling place. That would be coconuts. I will say.
Yes.
Anybody who's listening, that would be coconuts. That would be,
I'm telling
that,
you.
I would legitimately laugh a little bit if that happened.
Absolutely.
But yes.
So the links for our merch selling through Amazon, we do it through Amazon because we can keep the cost down. It's not going to be like, you know, $30 for a t-shirt. I think they're pretty reasonably priced on there. They are live right now. So head on over to Amazon. There's a link in the description of this episode. Buy some shirts and send them to your friends, and we'll be able to get some more designs up there if we get into those higher tiers. So pretty exciting stuff, Jack. We've been wanting to do this for a while, and I've had my eyes set on Amazon for a while, and it's finally happened. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. Cool stuff. But go buy some shirts, people. That would be fantastic. And that's all of the business right now, my friend. So why don't you hit us with that Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you got for us?
Yes, we are continuing. October is for our Oz Family Cigars. This is a cigar that is fairly new, doesn't have any reviews yet. So if you have it in your local brick and mortar, like, I would be interested. Tag me in it. See if you can find it. It is called the First Stat. The first stat is a Turkish phrase that means opportunity, or first stat, or however you want to say it, F-I-R-S-A-T. If somebody happens to be Turkish and can do a better job of enunciating that or something, go ahead. Be my guest, people. This is going to be more of a milder offering from Oz Family Cigars. It uses a Ecuadorian Connecticut seed wrapper over Ecuadorian Habano and Nicaraguan fillers. And then these cigars are made in Ernesto Perez Carrillo's Casa Carrillo factory in the Dominican Republic. So if you don't know who that is the guy who basically makes and master blends for the company EP Carrillo, which puts out some bangers of cigars. Like, legitimately, I think over at least 10 years, he's had top 20. He's had one cigar that he's made or collaborated on at least be in the top 25 cigars of the year from multiple different magazines and publications. So, yes, this is the first stat by Oz Family Cigars. Josh, it comes in a, I want to say it looks like a Robusto, a Toro, a Churchill, and a Gordo. Mm-hmm. So, Josh, if you would do the honors in giving me a figure of like what the lowest price to the highest price would be on those four sizings.
I think we're going I'm going to give you a range. I think we're going a little bougie on this one. I'm giving this one 12 to 15.
You're pretty much spot on.
Let's go. It's Reformation Buff, baby. I can't be stopped.
1225 is the lowest, and I think that's the Robusto for 1225 for the Robusto. Mm-hmm. And the highest I think is the I want to say the Churchill at 1450.
Look
and
at
the other two at 14 and 1325. So you're firing on all cylinders, Josh.
All cylinders, baby.
That is the Oz Family Cigars first stat. You heard it first here on the Reformatory.
I love it. Jack, my friend, as always, excellent job bringing nothing but the best for our podcast listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So we are continuing our Reformation Month themes. Mm-hmm. And last week we talked about a modern Reformation and the need for the continuance of the Reformation theology, the truths that came out of the Reformation, the justification by faith and faith alone, right? The grace of Christ being the only thing that saves, right? Coming against the Catholic dogma, the Catholic doctrine of the mediation of Mary, the perpetual virginity of Mary, the treasury of merit, indulgences, purgatory, all of that stuff, right? That
we want all the smoke.
All the smoke, right? And we talked about the great need for there to be a continuance of the Reformation in 2024, right? Yeah. And that's nothing new. We've talked about that before, right? We understand, just like we played that Papa Sproul clip, that things we tend to look at the days of the Reformation and the state of the church and say, look how horrible it was back then. Mm-hmm. And in actuality, things are worse now than it was then.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that Sproul pointed out so I think poignantly is all of the real bonkers doctrine that we see in the Catholic Church today has been post-Reformation.
Yeah.
There has been an even greater a straying away from the Word of God as the authority and the Word of God as the source of truth. And we see the need today for the truths that came out of the Reformation to be proclaimed, preached, taught, and believed and lived even more today than in the 16th century when those 95 theses were plastered on the door at Wittenberg, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we talked about last week, right? Mm-hmm. This week, we're taking a slightly different look, and we're, instead of looking outward to how the truth of the gospel proclaims to the world, we're looking inward to how does the truth of the gospel, the truths of the Reformation, this need to be semper reformanda, constantly reforming, how does this interact with the local church? How does this interact with us as believers, especially those that are committed to our local church, either in membership or in some sort of some sort of authority, right? Yeah. Because I think it's very easy in some ways to view the truths of the Reformation in the light of how does this apply to the Catholic Church? How did this apply historically? How does this apply to the world now? And rightly so. We need to be applying it to the world, right? Because it's the only thing that will save is the truth of the gospel. But it becomes much harder, I think, when you begin to ask the question, okay, how do these truths, how does this need to be constantly reforming, constantly coming into conformity with the Word of God? How does this affect me? How does this affect our churches? What are we supposed to be doing, and how are we supposed to be leading and living in light of the truths of the Reformation? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Jack, I want to throw it over to you first, because this was your topic suggestion, and I thought it was a really, really great one. So take us on the journey, my friend.
Yeah, I think that I think we need a modern Reformation to go off of last week's episode when it comes to our leadership and how we view leadership in the church. And what that looks like. I primarily say this because a dogma or a doctrine that came after Martin Luther and the Reformation was papal infallibility and speaking what we call ex cathedra. So you ex cathedra is a Latin phrase that means you speak from the chair. So it, it ties back into the Pope's infallibility to that sense. I think a lot of pastors honestly use this today in mega churches, in churches that have a lot of exposure in different denominations like the Southern Baptist Convention. They speak ex cathedrally, like they know the mind of God to the T. And I find that very dangerous because it leads down a path of fundamentalism. Very, I would say, now, when I say fundamentalism, I mean fundamentalism as you make up rules that become fundamentals. I think there was a point in time in church history that fundamentalists were actually a good thing to a certain extent, but that drifted slowly into the ways of legalism, that drifted slowly into the ways of, you know, a way of now pitting people who proclaim the gospel versus people who follow the law. So there's a blurriness between the law and gospel distinction happening as well, too. I think that churches and specifically pastors in a lead role who speak ex cathedrally about believers and say, if you do not do this, this will happen. I feel like that needs to be reformed. Not only does that need to be reformed, but any local church pastor who says stuff like that, if it is not exegetically using the Bible to make a proof text and maybe an argument from within that text, don't do it. Just don't do it. I think I'm seeing this a lot, obviously, in election season. You know, if I'm seeing this a lot in mega church pastors. If you don't do it, if you don't even vote, you're not even, you're passively rebelling. You're sinning, right? If you don't even vote, we were to the point where if you don't vote Republican, and now it's just, if you don't even vote.
Right.
So we can't now exercise a liberty of conscience to not even vote in some people's minds.
Sure.
So I think there needs to be, like, now it's not only speaking ex cathedrally, it's, I think, the amount of people that we see grifting online big time. And I think that too goes along with church members. It's not just pastors who are asking $1,000 to have breakfast with them at a certain event. It's church members who are big time names in political realms and have podcasts and everything like that on YouTube who are asking for money. And Josh and I get flack for it all the time for pointing it out. But it's like, where is your motivation? Is your motivation like Martin Luther? Is to point people back to the gospel, or is it to get money, sell books, do this so I can preach my own message and what I think about this? That's maybe toxic, or the soup du jour. And I think that's, I'm just saying soup of the day twice, apparently, of what I've been told about French and soup du jour. So are you doing this? Are you grifting? To what's your purpose in that? I think there's a need. There needs to be modern Reformation when it comes to those things, because it points back to a way in which we saw that grifting happen in Martin Luther's day. And it's just slowly creeping back in, but it's just it disguised itself as, well, you need to be anti-woke now in order to be accepted. So I don't know.
Yeah. And my problem with a lot of this stuff is that it gets so fuzzy, right? Like the whole anti-woke thing, like, I don't know what the definition of woke is. I've heard a different definition of every person. Now, I'll granted, most of the definitions I've heard, I ain't it. I grew up on a ranch in Eastern Washington. Like, I'm probably one of the most politically incorrect people that you might ever meet. And then, like, the whole books and stuff, like, it's, I find it so interesting because writing books and selling books in and of itself is not bad.
Yeah.
Having a platform, if God gives you a platform, it's not in and of itself a bad thing, right? But the problem that happens, and we see it time and time again, is you end up creating for yourself a little island, right? Yeah. To where those things are become indicative of just the status that you have created for yourself, right?
Yeah.
And we begin to see a mentality with some of these guys of placing themselves above the people that they are called to shepherd and above the people they are called to minister to, right? And you're 100% right. Like we look back at like what happened in the Reformation, and we see a people that were not shepherded. We see a people who did not have the word of God to themselves, and those that did have the word of God used it for their own gain, for their own influence, right?
Very true. Yes.
And we see that today, right? And we have to be very careful, right, to ask ourselves the question, am I using any part of the gospel, any part of the word of God, any part of the influence that God has given me to promote myself, or am I here to promote the over shepherd, the one that I am serving under, right? Yeah. And when I start to think about the need for a modern reformation within the local church, it starts there for me. We have to realize that so goes the pulpit, so goes the church, right? Those that are in leadership, the elders of the church, are responsible for the spiritual health of the church.
Yeah.
And if they're interacting with their congregation unbiblically, if they have motives for leading that are not rooted in scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Let's call out the obvious one. If you have unqualified men in the office of elder,
yeah,
you're going to reap those results.
Yeah.
And we see time and time again what happens when we don't hold that standard of scripture where it's supposed to be, and that is as the authority, right?
Yeah.
So when I think of modern reformation in regards to my own life, that's a sobering question that I have to ask myself, is how am I, one, personally not conforming myself to the word of God, and two, how am I not living out the word of God in how I preach, how I counsel, how I shepherd? Because any aspect of that is coming from me and not from the word of God, it's not going to be effective. It's like adding poison to the remedy, right? I need to get myself out of the way so that I am not infusing who I am into the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of my people, right?
Yeah.
So we need that modern reformation within the church. And it is just as important for us to go back to the authority of Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Do you truly believe that you are living out a faith that is not justified, or a life that is not justified by works, right? Mm. But justified by faith, faith in the works of Christ. Because like you're saying, Jack, like you can so easily create a system for yourself as a pastor, as a deacon, as a member, to where your service within the local church is out of duty and out of law and out of guilt and not joy and grace and a correct understanding of why we serve, right? Because let's be real, and I'll throw it over to you after this.
Yeah.
Guilt is a fantastic motivator. Guilt gets the job done.
Yeah.
There will just be no joy in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just when you say guilt gets the job done, I mean, we're seeing that so much from different pulpits across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, big, small, known, well-known, you know, maybe in obscurity, but mm-hmm. I think this is a problem primarily because, you know, we see time and time again, we see the culture doing something and we think, oh, we should just adopt that into the church.
Yeah.
And just, you know, put a little, you know, throw a little Christianity on it and then we'll make it okay and it's somehow acceptable.
Right.
And I just, like, if you're a pastor, you don't have to write a book. Like, let's be honest about this. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to do these things. I think culture puts the pressure on a lot of people to do them, but be a person and be a leader, whether that be, you know, a pastor or a deacon or a church member that says, no, like, we had a reformation, and going back to, you know, talking about the clergy, like the clergy were a class in and of themselves. It was basically the clergy and everybody else at the time. If you were to say, like Martin Luther said, that a peasant farmer could glorify God and do these things, you know, plant crops, harvest to the glory of God, people mm-hmm. would scoff at you and say, huh, really? Because right. they did not view that way of living as acceptable. Like, you, if you were to serve God in a ministry, you were to be a priest. You were to go mm-hmm. into the kind of clergy positions within the Roman Catholic Church in order to fulfill that. There yep. was no idea like today where Josh and I kind of operate in our local churches, where you build up men in your local church and you kind of shepherd them and guide them and mentor them and pray for them and take a time of prayer. And then hopefully you commission them as deacons or elders or pastors in those mm-hmm. capacities. It was not like that.
Right.
There was a clear dividing line and a clear distinction of, no, you are the people, you are the subjects, mm-hmm. and here are the leaders.
Yeah.
And I feel so much of that line, that distinction, is coming back into place to mm-hmm. where pastors, if they get a certain number of people in their church, they think all of a sudden, no, I'm over here now and everybody is over here.
Right.
And they're to listen to me now. And I have a platform, so I'm gonna put this platform into motion and start writing books and writing material, start doing conferences. Like I said, and I think Josh is important in saying this, like, none of those things are bad, but we're talking about the motivations of people. And
right.
we know the
right.
motivations of people. And the motivations of people are depraved, okay? Yep. They are depraved and selfish, okay? And by the grace of God, that depravity and selfishness slowly diminishes after time and it changes you, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is that people have motivations and people have ideas that they are the apex center of the world and my right. voice needs to be heard on this.
Yeah.
And our culture is not helping with that to a yeah. certain extent, because sure. it forces us back into this pre-Reformation world where the Tetzels of the world can go around in their cart and write a sermon and say stuff behind the behest of a other pastor that is yeah. speaking ex-cathedrally, to saying, if mm-hmm. you don't do this and buy this, then you are damned.
Right.
If you don't buy this and listen to this, then you're not really one of us.
Right.
So I think those yeah. distinctions need to be torn down. Like, everybody is glorifying God in any kind of capacity, in any kind of career that they're doing.
Yeah.
Just plain absolutely. And simple.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor and start writing books and doing this and getting influence and chasing celebrity in order to fulfill God's will in your life. Like, that's just foolishness. So,
Yeah. Cause you'll be constantly chasing something that isn't like, there won't be fulfillment in that. Right.
Yeah.
If God calls you to do that, then cool, but don't, that's not going to be the thing that fulfills you. Only Christ is meant to do that. So whether you're a pastor or whether you're a church member, live out the truths of the Reformation in your own life, in your own heart, right? Leaders, be constantly going back to the Word of God, right? And using the standard of the Word of God to do to inform how you should live and how you should shepherd, how you should preach, how you should counsel, right? Members in your service, in your interacting with one another, live out the gospel. Don't do so out of duty and out of some sort of motivation to justify yourself by the things that you do, because that's really easy to fall into, right? Understand that the gospel has already proclaimed you righteous. It's proclaimed you accepted and forgiven, right? And the Lord sees the work and sacrifice of Christ as being sufficient. And that's something that the truths of the Reformation proclaimed, is look at the freedom and the joy that you can have now in your service, in your worshiping, in your raising up of your kids, in the interactions with the brothers and sisters in the church. It can be done with joy because your righteousness is not resting on it. And the greatest truth that we can proclaim as pastors and as members to one another is that Christ is your righteousness. I can't think of a greater truth to proclaim, especially during Reformation Month. Christ is your righteousness, and the just shall live by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That brings joy, and that brings peace, and that truly is the crux of what it truly means to live like a Christian, to live like Christ wants us to live. So, pastors, don't set yourself up as popes. Understand that you are members of the body first.
Yeah.
Right? And you have been called to be an under shepherd of the great shepherd. So lead accordingly. And members, don't view your service as the thing that makes you righteous.
Yeah.
Right? Take great joy in the unity that you have with the body, because that unity is grounded on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness will never be overcome. It'll never be stained. It'll never be taken away. So live in joy. Live in joy this Reformation Month, because, man, it's the greatest truth to proclaim as Christians, that Christ is my righteousness. And that's something that I never get sick and tired of hearing, because I need to hear it. I need to hear it often.
Yep.
Absolutely. Bang, Jack.
Josh, I think Big Eva has sung, sir.
I think she has, my friend. Why don't you get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the local church central to the believer's life here at the Reformatory, you too can help us in a couple ways, and just giving us feedback. That's why we're on the sociables, if you will.
That's right.
Yes, we are on those dastardly little things in order to take whatever episode ideas you want us to talk about, whatever comments, questions, concerns you might have. So you can go to those sociable sites at the Metaverse, or the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the always interesting sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. Look us up on the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can find us there. Send us a DM, like I said, about episode ideas, questions, concerns you might have for us. And then, Josh, you can also tell the lovely people how they might support us in other endeavors.
That's right. Well, you can head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this podcast as well as listen to it. We put the video versions of the podcast up on YouTube. Just head on over there, search the Reformatory Podcast. You'll find us. Give us a little like, comment, send it to a friend. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd really appreciate it. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That would be fantastic. 5 stars for 5 solas, please. That'd be fantastic. Shirts. All right. We're on Amazon now. It's a big deal. It's pretty dope. It's pretty cool. Links in the description of this episode. Head on over there, buy some shirts, rep them, tag us. If you get some shirts, take some pics, tag us in them. And like I said, we got youth sizes there too, so you could get your kid a little Reformed shirt. You know, he's got Reformed, and then you got like confessional, all right, covenantal, Calvinistic. I would look pretty good on a I'm just saying, if you're one of those Reformed families, you got six kids, I'm telling you, deck them all out in reformatory gear. Mm-hmm. Take some pictures and tag us in the shots. We love sharing those. That'd be fantastic. Last but not least, we have a Patreon for $5 a month. You can head on over there, support the Reformatory, get awesome bonus episodes. Patreon patrons get notified when fresh merch gets dropped, so they get first dibs on all that stuff. Our patrons would have already known about these shirts before you guys. So sorry, that's just how it works. But you could follow Brad Hoganson and pledge a $5 holla to the Reformatory. And our pledge to you, if you decide to become a Patreon member, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.